Heavenly Father, we need you today. We need you right now. And you tell us in your word. Paul says to you, I'm going to now boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can rest upon me. So let us all be willing to boast of our weaknesses and our need for you so the power of Christ can rest upon me. He says right there later that when I am weak, then I am strong. Because when we're weak, then we trust in you. So help us to trust in you today, trust in you every day, every moment of every day. But today we come to worship you. We draw near to you, Lord. And your word tells us when we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. So draw near to us. Fill this place with your spirit. Cleanse each one of us by the shed blood of Jesus and let no unclean thing even remain in this place. And as we worship, be glorified, be blessed, inhabit the praise of your people, and come, abide with us, speak with us, comfort us, and meet our needs, Lord. You know the need. Whatever it happens to be is different with each one. But we come here knowing that you hear our prayers, you meet our needs, and we join together to encourage one another and to grow in love for one another and love for you. So hear our prayer and hear our praises. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, as we approach our national Thanksgiving holiday, I've been led by the Spirit of God to bring a message about being a thankful people. I have brought this kind of message before this time of year on occasion, so many of you may have heard it or recall it, but it's a message that I believe we need to hear every so often. So he's led me, my Lord has led me, to start our message today in Philippians 4:4-7. So please turn there, where we read how God has called us to be a thankful people. And I pray this every morning and have for years. It helps me start my day. Again, I recite it, or I pray it nearly every morning so that I have, starting with a thanksgiving spirit to our Lord and also be protected by the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. And that's a wonderful thing. I believe that the Word clearly tells us that we must be thankful to God for salvation in Christ and thankful for each other. And we must be thankful, people, in all things which we will read. So, Larry, would you pray over the Word and over me first, and then we will read the Word.
Our dear kind Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have the opportunity again today to join here and listen to the words that you've given Randy, and to be thankful for each and every one of them. And Lord, we pray that you'll have the Holy Spirit fall upon Randy and lead him and guide him in the things he says, fall upon our ears.
Yes, Lord.
We need you. We ask in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Larry. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We rejoice in the Lord always. With thanksgiving, then we present our requests to God. It is just so easy for us to always ask God for more and more and forget what God has already blessed us with and forget to be thankful people. In these verses is the very basic framework for prayer and a thankful heart. We rejoice in the Lord always. Why? Because we have the free gift of salvation. Amen. That's good enough. A friend of mine often said, you got to get to the point, Randy, where Jesus is enough. I confess I'm not there. But that's our goal. Jesus is enough. Okay? And then we're to let our gentleness be the attitude by which we are known. The King James says, let your moderation be known unto all men. And please see that this quality of moderation or gentleness or courteousness is another way to determine that word, is something that we must possess. We must take hold of. We are not to pretend to be moderate. We're not to pretend to be gentle. We are to let it be known to all men, all people, that we are, by Christ abiding in us, moderate and gentle people. And again, by moderate, the word is not saying that we sit on the fence and we can't decide which way to go or we don't know what to stand for. The word describes a person here who is content with less than what is due him, a person who willingly restrains himself from whatever is due him, a person who is patient, a person who shrinks from insisting on his rights or her rights. It describes a person who is unwilling to litigate or contend with another, but instead a person who willing to just yields to his brother or to his sister. And again, the word says, let your gentleness be evident, be known. That's what evident means, to be known, to be obvious to all. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. The Lord is right with you, and he is watching. How do you respond? How do you represent him in all your dealings with all mankind? Here again, the word says, unto all men, not just believers, not just those people we like or we love. Are we representative of the love of Christ in all of our dealings with all people? God is watching, and he expects, he's expecting us to be gentle, to be patient, to be kind, to keep ourselves in check, and not let our flesh rule us in our daily living. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Why does he tell us that? Because to be anxious is to worry. And to worry is to show to God that we just don't trust him completely on this. We just don't. And let's be honest, we don't always. I believe I'm getting better. I hope you're all getting better at it. I think we all know that he truly desires his very best for each and every one of us. But at least, you know, speaking for myself, I get anxious sometimes in trusting God. Because I don't know how or when he's going to accomplish what he desires for me. I want what he desires, but I don't know how or when. I fear my own stubbornness will require him to take drastic measures to get me to conform to the likeness of Christ and to do his will, to wait, to be patient. And, you know, I think you guys can relate. I don't want to be embarrassed or humiliated due to my own stubbornness because I want it. And we can't go to God and say, okay, you haven't said no, so here I go. No, we have to wait. We have to be patient. And remember, the rebuke of the Lord is always good in the end. And oftentimes his rebuke comes with such an abundance of love that we genuinely feel remorse when he reveals how our behavior has hurt his heart. And in our remorse, then, we find the strength to not repeat that hurtful behavior. We see this so clearly in Hebrews chapter 12, if you want to turn there. Hebrews chapter 12. To get the body of it, we must start in verse 7. Endure hardship as discipline. Endure hardship, trials, tribulations, troubles, as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. What is his holiness? It is his being set apart from the things of this world, set apart from our fleshly desires, his holiness. Verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Whenever we hear peace, what is that peace? Peace of God and peace with God. God. I'm not talking about peace in the world. I'm talking about a peace with God. We are no longer enemies. We are at peace with him. So God's discipline is something to be thankful for because it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. And I want to focus today on those two words, with thanksgiving, that we read in Philippians. God calls us to be a thankful people. And so the first way we look at this verse is to know that we must come to our Lord, what? With thanksgiving in our hearts. No matter how hard you're feeling, no matter how bad you're feeling, you come to Him with thanksgiving. Once we really understand what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, His Son, it's really not that hard to come to Him with thanksgiving, because I just start there. Thank you for Christ. And I often start a prayer like that. Many of you heard me. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, for Jesus Christ, your Son, and for faith, the gift of faith. Amen? It is easy to be thankful to God when we come to Him, when we understand the good news, when we understand that. And we are now made one again, as I've already said, with the Lord, just as Adam and Eve were before the fall. They were one with the Lord before the fall. We have that now, today, through Christ. He made us part of His family again through Christ. And we just have to believe and confess our sin to Him, keep our books clear with Him, and confess our need for Christ, and ask Christ into our hearts, and ask Christ daily, forgive me of my sin, wash me clean from all unrighteousness, and use me as your servant. Just that alone should make us a thankful people. I know it does for me. And it will for every one of us if we continue in that attitude. We must maintain the attitude of thanksgiving with our Lord. When we approach the Lord for blessings, we must never forget to thank Him for the blessings already received. Amen? Amen? Some of you were here when Davy sat in the back, and he said, Lord, bless me, and the Lord sort of spoke to him and said, David, what did I say, David? Davy. I've already blessed you. I bless you all the time. Just open your hands and receive the blessings I've already given you. And that's the point. They're there. Think in human terms how it feels. When someone comes to you to ask for a favor or for something to be given to them, and you kind of remember how they have asked for stuff before and have received it and have never returned to you with a genuine heart of thanks for what they've already received. Jesus even tells a little parable about that. Remember that one? Of the ones who had leprosy, and only one came back. And he said, where are the other nine to thank me? Great example. How often have you heard a grandparent or maybe even your own parents say, well, I guess I don't need to give you anything anymore for Christmas or for your birthday or whatever, because I sent you something before and I've never received a thank you. If they can't take the time to thank me and let me know they received a gift and recognize from whom it came, I guess I just don't need to give it anymore. That's a human example of how God must feel. It's a true statement. And it's a vision, I think, of how the Lord feels when we fail to recognize past answered prayers, past blessings received. We need to be as purposeful about specifically thanking God as we are about asking God for blessings and for help and for intervention and for provision. I believe, honestly, that prayers lack power and effectiveness when there is a lack of thanksgiving for blessings already received. With a lack of thanksgiving, we establish within us an attitude of ungratefulness and an attitude of entitlement. You owe me, Lord. I think we all know what we are truly entitled to, and I don't want any part of that. So let us be grateful. Always thanking God for His pardon and for His favor upon us. So as we're in Hebrews, if you're still there, look down to Hebrews 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably in reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Now let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and through 18. Very simple from our word, from our Lord, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You ever want to know what God's will is for you? It's right there. Be joyful. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. All circumstances. The New Living Translation says, always be joyful, keep on praying, no matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. The King James says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is sadly so common for us to take for granted the great blessings that we have. We experience God's blessings throughout our lives, but when they aren't new anymore, we tend to forget the very fact that we have them is really a great blessing from God. So how do we do this? How do we always stay thankful? First, as we already read, no matter what happens, always be thankful. That's not always easy, but it can be done with some discipline on our part. So we turn to 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. I've lived that one, at least to some degree. We men are bad about that. We think our wives and families would love us if we just work harder and make more money instead of spending time with our family. And what does it do? It plunges us into ruin and destruction. It continues, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And remember, it's the love of money. Not money itself. It's the love of money. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And gentleness. We are to combine this godly lifestyle with an attitude of thankfulness for what we have, a contentment with whatever God has seen fit to give us, and with whatever he is doing in our lives. The result is great gain, the word says. We brought nothing into this world. We can take nothing out. That's great wisdom. It's silly to think the man with the most toys in the end wins. What does he win?
6 feet up.
Yeah. Just like everybody else. That's called worldly wisdom. We must reject worldly wisdom and seek God and seek heavenly wisdom. As long as we have food and clothing, meaning food and clothing here means shelter, that is sufficient for us to live, then we should be content with that. And we should be thankful for that. We see this clearly in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians is, I believe, right after Philippians, right, Joe? General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 3 in Colossians, starting in verse 15. I've always remembered that when you said that. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Be thankful. Have grateful hearts. Have gratitude in our hearts. We sing praises. The New Living Translation says, let the words of Christ in all of their richness live in your hearts and make you wise. Use his words to teach and counsel each other. That's the body of Christ. We are to do all that we do in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God through him. Further back in Philippians 4, we read of more advice. Verses 11 through 13. This is another one that I pray almost every single morning. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I pray that almost every morning because I need that. Otherwise, we just go out there thinking, oh, I got it. Don't worry, Lord, let me drive. You know, move over, sit in the back. I'm going to drive today. No, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Amen? We must learn to be content whatever the circumstances. And if we cannot, and I struggle with that at times, maybe some of you, that should be the very first thing that we open with prayer. We thank him and say, teach me contentment. First, think of what you can be thankful for, and then thank God for those things. As you start your day, start with prayer, and start with thanking him for anything you can think of. Amen. You can do the same thing at night as you lay your head down, as you get ready to drift off to sleep. There's no better way to drift off to sleep than in prayer. And you start with thanking him. And we are told to thank God in all circumstances. So we must also thank him during difficult times. For if nothing else, his promises are right here to give us strength and to see us through. And then pray for God to give us that spirit of contentment. I do that a lot. Okay, Lord, I'm anxious. Shouldn't be. But as I read some of Paul's letters, he was anxious too. So I'm in good company. And then we just say, now let your peace rest upon me, Lord. I need that. And sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm just praying for all these things that God puts on me. And I finally say, Lord, I'm tired. I need some sleep. So can I get maybe just an hour of deep sleep? And the often next thing I know, I drift off and I wake up an hour later and I'm rested. So we need to ask him to show us how to be content in whatever the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Because another word for content is what? Satisfied. Ken and I have had these discussions, you know, about, well, I don't need to be satisfied, actually. He needs to be satisfied. But you know what? If he's satisfied, probably going to be satisfied too. But that our goal is to satisfy him. So let us ask God daily through Christ to give us a satisfied heart, to be satisfied with our situation, no matter what it is, knowing that we are promised. You guys all know Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. Amen. And are called according to his purposes for them. So now let us look at Ephesians. I apologize, this message goes a little ways. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 19. Just another exhortation, encouragement. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chuck Swindoll wrote about this. He said, thankful Christians are joyful Christians, and joyful Christians are thankful Christians. Hence the bulletin. There is always room for a grateful heart. And let the example of Paul speak to you today. Be a thankful person. There is so much that tempts us in the other direction, amen? To be bitter, to be joyless, to be self-centered, or to dwell on the negative. Yet Paul reminds us that nothing can stamp out the joy that we have in the Lord. When we know him, we have what we need for grateful and joyful living. When we have him, we can be content. And then with Paul, we too can make this confession. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do everything through the one who strengthens me. There's different ways it's been translated. This is one of the great truths that I believe we must get into our hearts. And that's why I say it to my Lord every morning if I can. Sometimes, rarely, I get a little disrupted. We can do everything, though, through Christ who gives us strength. And this means we can face any situation, any adversary, any problems, because we don't face them alone. Amen. We have Christ in us who gives us strength. We have a great prayer from Psalm 51. Many of you probably know it. But let's turn to Psalm 51, starting in verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Now that's from the NIV. I was raised with the King James. And I used to sing those last three verses. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Restore me with the joy of our salvation. Just that has to be enough. Let it be the cry of your heart to learn, as Paul did, to be content, to be satisfied, whatever your circumstances. And remember what Paul said in Philippians, as we read, verses 12 through 13 in chapter 4, I have learned the secret to being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. What's the secret? I can do everything. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So how do we do this? How do we learn to be content? I wanted to go to 2 Chronicles, but we're kind of running late, so I'm not going to go back to 2 Chronicles, but it's a great story back there. It's about Uzziah. And he does everything right, as long as the priest Zechariah is with him. But then things are going so well, he starts getting cocky. And what happens? His downfall is pride. And then all of a sudden, he's in the temple with the incense, ready to burn, and that's the Levite's job. That's the priest's job. So 80 priests went in there to confront him and said, you can't do this. And he came very angry. And then he broke out on his forehead with leprosy. And so The 80 priests rushed him out, and he wanted to leave now too because he realized God was pretty mad. He never went back to the temple again. He was leprous for the rest of his life, banished because of his disobedience. But what was the disobedience? We all disobey, but what was the disobedience? Pride. He took credit for his great kingdom. He took credit that he had over 300,000 soldiers. He took credit for all of that. It's a great read, but I need to move on. So we'll leave that there. But it was his lack of thankfulness to God that he, all that he had and all that he had accomplished, that led to his personal pride, and his pride led to banishment. God calls us to be thankful to him for all things so as to prevent us becoming deluded into thinking that we're responsible for all that we have and elevate ourselves above God. We see it all the time. Let it not be seen in us. So let's turn to Proverbs as we close and go through some Proverbs to encourage us and to admonish us, to teach us. We'll start in Proverbs chapter 8. We'll start in verse 10 of chapter 8. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. What is the reference to her? That's always the feminine reference to wisdom, right? And that's what he's speaking to here. Wisdom is more precious. Nothing you can desire can compare with her. And then it goes on. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power. By me, kings reign and rulers make laws that are just. By me, princes govern and all nobles who rule the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. We'll go quickly over. Let's go through a few of these Proverbs. 11. Proverbs 11. Many of these you may have heard before, but the Lord has asked me to kind of put them all together in one space. Proverbs 11, chapter 2, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. Think of Uzziah. Banished. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. With humility comes wisdom. Proverbs 13:10. Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Pride creates arguments. I want to make sure you know I'm right. And so I'm going to argue with you until you get to know I am right and you are not. That's what it means. It breeds quarrels. No need for that. 16, Proverbs 16, 18 through 20. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Many of us remember that one. The highway of the upright avoids evil. He who guards his way guards his life. But pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Wow, I love that. Help us to trust you, Lord, so that we can be blessed. And finally, let's turn to Proverbs 29, 23. A man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honor. So how do we learn to be content? How do we learn to be satisfied? How do we avoid this prideful attitude? I believe it's simple. I think it's easy. But simple and easy doesn't mean that it's not a difficult chore for us at times. We start each prayer with statements to God of thanks for his provision and for all things that come to mind. We thank him for everyday blessings in your lives so as not to take these blessings for granted. We have a lot of everyday blessings, especially in this great nation. We live in the 1% in this great nation, no matter how poor you are. We're at the 1% in the world. We have fresh water, homes, food. Not everybody has the same, but understand, these simple things is what God says. Thank me for that. That's why we always thank God for the food set before us before we eat it. Amen? This sets our minds on what things we are to be thankful for instead of just focusing on what we need and things in my life or your life that you're unhappy about, and that just leads us to complaining. Remember what we read in 1 Thessalonians 5. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then pray for God to show you how to be content. That's why I pray it every day. Because I'm not good at being content. I'm bad at comparing. Always have been. I'm getting better because I've been praying this for a long time. We need to be content. Ask the Lord to give you strength to do everything, everything in word or deed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to do everything for God's glory so that God is glorified in all that you do, all that I do. And again, I'm not saying this is easy. I should rephrase it. It's not easy. It's simple. But simple isn't necessarily easy. It requires constant prayer to keep us focused on Jesus. But we can learn to be content if we consistently open and close our day in prayers of thanksgiving and give God the glory in everything we do, everything we have, everything we accomplish, for he is the giver of all good things. Most of all, thank him for the cross. It's kind of hidden back here. Thank him for the cross. For Christ Jesus is our Savior, for the gift of faith to believe. In this time of national thanksgiving, let us first be thankful for Christ above all things. And I just wanted to add one thing. It's not in my notes. But as we read this part about do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I've gotten into a habit to pray that every morning. And I stop right there, and I say, okay, what are my requests for the day? and I go through. Sometimes they're very simple. Sometimes, like when I'm doing George's funeral, you know, help me do that. It gives you glory. But I start listing things. And then it reminds me, oh, that's right, Lord, I got to thank you because yesterday I prayed for this, 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 and this, and all that happened. So it's a good way to kind of get into a habit of how to keep your heart thankful. Go ahead and with thanksgiving, bring your prayers and petitions, and then start thinking about, oh, but that's right, I prayed yesterday for this and this and this, and all that happened. So just a thought. And so let us remember now in this time of thanksgiving, we often say, so what are you thankful for? Let us be thankful for Christ first. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let us be thankful for Christ. You should be enough. But we live in this fleshly body, Lord, and so we have all these other things that we desire. Help us not to desire them more than you. But we need your help, Lord. So we come before you and we just freely confess. We are anxious at times. We don't trust you completely at times. But we ask you to help us in that. We ask you to continually speak to us, work with us, bring people around us to encourage us, and then let us encourage others. When times are hard, Lord, help us to cry out to you first. Not complaining, just crying out. But we can cry out and we can say, Lord, I don't know how much more of this I can take. That's okay, you can take that. But help us to look to you, not anywhere else, not to people, not to this world, but to you, you alone. But we confess here, we need your help. Amen. Praise God.